Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church in Beverly on this, our Sunday following Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, where we find ourselves still in the midst of the Christmas season, anticipating the coming of Epiphany Sunday next week, and longing, hoping to sing out the joy, the joyful news for the whole world that we celebrated last week. Welcome, whether you are gathered here in this space or gathering from your worship space on our live stream. It is a joy to be able to be together and to be worshiping together this day. And now we get to continue moving through this season of Christmas together. So let us prepare our hearts and our minds to come together in worship.
You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call. Rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
We gather this day, do so surrounded by reminders here in this sanctuary of the Christmas story enacted, celebrated and sung here on Christmas Eve just 1 week ago. We gather this day knowing that the celebration of that story, indeed the celebration of Christmas, is not just a one-day affair, but a stretch of time. 12 days, in fact, from Christmas Day until Epiphany, and we find ourselves this day right in the midst of that Christmas season, here on the seventh day of Christmas. We come knowing, too, that the meaning of that story that we celebrated and sung, the profound joy and hope, and the call upon our lives that springs from the realization that God's real love was born into the world in the form of a tiny, vulnerable baby, that God came into the world to live with us and to love us and to teach us. That realization, that story and that call is not a one-day affair itself, but rather one that calls for every day after and our very selves to be different. The Christmas story is a story that reminds us of God's call to love and for peace, lasting and meaningful for the world. So what does it look like? What does it mean in this, our service of story and song, to proclaim, to sing out, to live for love and for peace, lasting and meaningful for all the world in our time? A time in which, as we have acknowledged throughout the Advent season, there is not peace for all people. What does it mean for us to strive to help bring more of God's real love, gritty and wild-eyed, dangerous and justice-seeking, into a world where hurt, pain, and war are very present and real? We think especially this day of the land of Jesus' birth, the place to which we turn with hopeful eyes on Christmas Eve, and on this year, remember the pain and sorrow felt there as war rages and as the people of Gaza suffer. How can we sing out in the face of such pain? Perhaps we also can ask ourselves, how could we not? Palestinian-American author Zaina Arafat writes that in the face of brokenness and suffering, joy is its own form of resistance. And so it was that the songs of prophets like Isaiah dared to dream of a world that would know war no more, in which a little child could lead. And so it was that the songs of those Christmas angels rang out in the face of the brokenness of the world to proclaim the birth of a Prince of Peace. And so it is that we are invited to pick up that song now, a song that crosses place and time, that invites us to sing once more about a child born into the world to show us to live with love and with peace everlasting for us all. In this, our service of story and song, we will hear stories that stretch across traditions and across our world, inviting us to think about our connections with one another. We will be invited to raise our voices in song and to sing out the hopeful heart song of God's human family. Not only to celebrate that story that was, but our prayer for what yet may be. And we will be invited to give our gifts to provide support and care for those in Gaza. So come into this time of worship. Come bringing all of ourselves, all of our emotions, our fears, our hopes, our joys, our prayers. Come lifting our voices in song as we sing our opening carol, number 149, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Come and let us worship.
In our prayer of invocation, we turn deliberately to the one who we know is already here. And we ask that God would open our hearts to receive the divine presence. After our prayer of invocation, we will pray together the Lord's Prayer. And the words to that prayer are printed in your order of worship, but we invite you to use whatever words are most meaningful and significant for you as you pray that prayer. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, who is with us in all things, Emmanuel, we draw near to you this morning, flush with the memories of the songs that the angels sang, of the star that brightened the sky, of the promises that came with your birth into the world. Yet some part of us may also need to be reminded of their power. Some part may need to be reassured of your continued movement in the world, of the work that you are doing even now to bring peace to all the earth, to shine a light that pierces all darkness, to share a love that transforms all things. Draw near to us in this hour, O God. Let our movements and our meditations, our stories and our songs, lead us ever deeper into you and into the experience of your transforming power, that peace and love may reign over all the earth. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This is a story that was written and illustrated by Patricia Polacco, and we adapted it a little bit for our service today. But if you want to look at the book, we're going to leave the book up front for later after worship if you want to look at the original book. This is a song written by an author who calls it a heart song of a book. And we're singing a lot today. So let's listen to this story and find out what was in her heart when she wrote this story. At our farm, just outside of Union City, Michigan, we didn't celebrate the same holidays as most of our neighbors, but we shared their delight and anticipation of them just the same. Such cold the winter brings, my babushka said as she looked out our front window. My bones it makes to ache, she slapped her chest. And then she caught my eye and she winked. She wasn't fooling me. I knew how much she loved the snow. It reminded her of her homeland in Ukraine. Carly, again you complain, but still you watch the snow with such light in your eyes, Grandpa said as he gave her a kiss. My grandfather was from Georgia, south of Russia and near Turkey. He and Babushka spoke Russian and they had wonderful accents. They kept their homelands in their hearts. There's that heart song, maybe, even though they would never be able to return. Just then, Mama rolled into the long driveway. Mama's home, Mama's home, my brother Richard called as we watched her get out of the car. Mama drove all the way to Battle Creek every day to teach school, but now she would be off for 2 weeks because of the holiday season. I loved having her home for winter vacation. This year, we would have a week together to prepare and then 8 days of Hanukkah festivities. The next day, Mama took our old tarnished menorah out and asked me to polish it. While I rubbed, I watched my grandmother making the candles we would put in it. She hummed as she worked, never seeming to tire of the long process. Grandpa prepared for our festival of lights. He carved small toys out of wood. Richard and I weren't supposed to know that he was making them for us, but that afternoon, when he went into town, we couldn't help sneaking into his workroom to peek. Look, a dancing goat, my brother exclaimed, holding one up. Grandpa had painted all the animals with colors from his homeland. We marveled at how magical they all were. Do you think he made enough for all 8 days of Hanukkah? Richard asked. You know he has, I whispered. I took one lasting look, knowing that soon Grandpa would wrap them in colorful paper. My mother called for me, and I thought she had caught us spying. But she only wanted me to go to the Kremels for some cornmeal. The Kremels, our nearest neighbors, lived a half mile down the road. They were farmers like us, and at harvest time, Mr. Kremel always helped Grandpa. All the neighbors helped each other that way. Friendship means something, Grandpa always said as they did. I practically lived at the Kremel's house because Cherry Kremel was my very best friend. We especially loved the holiday season when I'd watch her family decorate their Christmas tree and she'd watch my family light our menorah. But when I got to their house, I found everybody quite sick. Even Cherry, who was usually full of spitzerinko, as my babushka would say, seemed quiet and weak. She was crying. What's wrong? I asked. We haven't been able to do anything to prepare for Christmas this year, she said sadly. We haven't even put up a tree or even decorated at all. Papa's too sick to get out of bed and go chop one down, she said. Then she coughed an awful cough. I ran home and burst into our house with the news about Cherry and her family. Mama seemed very worried. Did you go inside their house, Tricia? She asked me. Sure, I answered. All the grown-ups. Uh-oh, my brother said. They all looked at me. When your grandfather was in town today, Babushka said very slowly, Dr. Leach told him that many families around here have come down with scarlet fever. Am I going to get it, Mama? I asked. It's very contagious, she answered. We'll know in a few days. Now I started to cry, feeling worried and sad, but my mother held me close, offering me comfort. All we can do is wait and see and hope, she said. As the days passed, it was evident I was not going to get sick. That's good news. But more and more reports came to us of neighbors falling ill. The Everests, the Govlaks, the Tundervalds, the Molskys. It was everywhere. We were all worried about our friends, and at the same time, Babushka was determined that our festival of lights would go on. On the afternoon before the start of Hanukkah, she bustled about the kitchen. Such latkes I'll make this year, she exclaimed. I helped prepare the potatoes with care. They had to be just right for my Babushka's latkes. Mama and Babushka dressed down two chickens for roasting and put them in the oven. Just as the aroma of the wonderful feast met our nostrils, the sun set, and it was time to light the menorah. Grandpa recited the blessings and lit the shamash, the candle used to light all the others. Babushka put the first candle in the menorah and lit it with the shamash. And then Mama told the story, as she did every year, of our people long ago. Our people longed to worship in their own way, Mama said. And then there was the miracle of the light, my grandfather said with a twinkle in his eye. One tiny drop of oil burned in the temple for 8 days. Such a miracle, my Babushka exclaimed. Miracles can happen even today, Grandpa said quietly. After dinner, Grandpa handed us the first of our beautifully wrapped presents. He looked troubled, though. You know, he began, our neighbors are having such a hard time, and this should be a time of gladness for them, too. If only we could do something to make their holiday special, too. His voice trailed off. Babushka thought a while. They always bring a tree right in their house, she said. It grows right out of the living room floor. Carly, we should cut down trees and take them to their houses, Grandpa said, already pulling on his winter coat. And Babushka nodded in agreement. You can help me cut them, Richard, Grandpa said. We can get more chickens ready and take them food, Babushka said as she scurried in the kitchen. And Mama and I will help decorate the trees, I said excitedly. But this is not our custom, my grandmother said. We have nothing to decorate trees with. What about the wooden carvings that Grandpa made? My mother said softly. And they both looked at me. And at first I felt a little sad thinking about giving away all the beautiful carvings meant for Richard and for me. But as I thought, I realized it was the right thing to do. Grandpa and Richard cut the trees and brought them into our living room. Look at all those trees in their living room. Nailing crossed boards to the bottom of each so they would stand up. And Grandpa started hanging some of his wooden animals on the branches of a tree. A dancing goat, my Babushka remarked as she looked closely at one of them. We shall call these the trees of the dancing goats. So we made sure to hang a dancing goat on each tree. As we decorated the trees, we laughed and we sang. The single candle in the menorah flickered as we rushed past it to reach another carved animal or to paste together paper chains to hang on the trees. We worked into the night. When Grandpa, Richard, and I finished the decorating, Babushka and Mama roasted more chickens and fried more potato latkes. They packed the food in baskets, and in each one, Babushka put one of her homemade Hanukkah candles. So they will be reminded that they have the light of God with them, she murmured. We loaded Grandpa's old Ford with the trees and the food baskets. We sent Babushka and Grandpa into the early light of dawn with their Christmas cheer. We waited eagerly for their return later that morning. We thrilled when they told us how they had entered the home of each neighbor, set up a decorated tree in the living room, put a basket of food on the table, and then put the single candle in a holder for them to light later. A week later, the 8 days of Hanukkah had come and gone, and we sat down to have our final night's feast. There was a knock at the door. Now, who could that be? Babushka said as she scurried to the door with her usual warm smile. It was the Kremels. Cherry, my very best friend, and her mom and dad. They looked pale, but they assured us they were all better and quite well now. We have something for you, Cherry announced as she bolted through the door holding a basket. Her mother and father had tears in their eyes as they hugged my grandparents and my mother. Look what my dad made for you, Cherry said. She pulled out a menorah that Mr. Kremel had carved out of wood. On it, he had mounted some of the animals that we had given to them. How beautiful, my babushka said as she placed it on the table. Come sit, my grandpa invited them. You are welcome to join us. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, George, Mr. Kremel said as he looked into my grandpa's eyes. They sat down to join us and share our meal. And by this time, our menorah had been lit for an hour or so. But when we lit the candles in the new menorah that the Kremels had made for us, we noticed something wonderful. Look, I called out. Our old candles are exactly as tall as our new ones. The old ones don't even look burned down, Mama said. Another miracle, Grandpa said. A miracle indeed, my babushka said, giving me a big hug. And then we all got up and we danced and we laughed together. Do you want to get up and dance? You can dance if you want. They got up and they danced and they laughed. Maybe these folks want to get up and dance and laugh. In the flickering candlelight on a night we would never forget, a night of love and of song and of the miracle of true friendship, all nestled in the winter that we all came to remember as the winter of the dancing goats. The end. So this is a story that's all about friendship. Even when we might have ways that we celebrate or that we talk about God that are different. And one of the gifts in it is those dancing goat ornaments. So if you want to create your own ornament on your piece of paper, you can. But even if you don't, we can think about what gifts we can offer to each other and the ways that we create those friendships. Will you say a prayer with me? Will you all pray with me? And maybe the grown-ups will too. Maybe they'll repeat after us too. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for many gifts, especially the gift of friendship. We love you, and we love that we get to share your love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words.
Let us come now into a time of prayer, beginning with moments of silence in which we can lift the prayers of our hearts to our God who hears and holds them all. Let us pray. Gracious and most loving God, God whose heart song for peace and hope for this whole world rings out once more, help it to ring out in and through us. Help us to sing your song of hope and peace in a weary world, O God. Help us to speak and to act for peace and for love. The love shown to us in your coming to be born into the world. The love that tiny child in the manger grew up to teach, to live, and to preach. In the weariness and hurt of the world, O God, we lift our hopeful, our sorrowful, our enduring prayers to you. Speak peace, O God, into the world. Speak peace, we pray, into the crisis in Gaza and Israel. We lift our prayers to you, O God. We pray for innocent children and civilians that have been affected by violence, war, and harm around our world. We pray for the people of Gaza and of Israel. We pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for all those living around our world who live with threat of violence or in fear for loss of safety, home, and calm. For the peace that you wish for us all. We know, O God, that you have created us and created this world in love and for love, that you love us deeply and profoundly. So let that love reign all around your world. We pray, O God, for your wisdom and compassion to guide those who lead, for your caring and your comfort to be with those who mourn, and for your courage of real and profound, lasting and sustaining peace to be with us and within us all. Help us to work for that lasting love, O God. Help us to sing out your song of peace and then to use our hearts and our hands in whatever ways we can to help bring that peace into being. And it is in the name of that baby in the manger that we pray this and so much more. Amen.
Our second story this morning is not a Christmas story proper. It doesn't mention Christmas at all. And yet the content of it, the substance of it, is truly a Christmas story. It is written by Naomi Shihab Nye, a Palestinian American, and in it she reflects a bit, in a fictional way, on some of her own experiences getting to know her own grandmother, living in the hills north of Jerusalem. And along the way, she expresses that deep hope, that deep dream of peace for which we all long, and that the Christmas story promises is answered in the coming of Jesus into the world somehow. So this is Cities Secrets, written by Naomi Shihab Nye, illustrated by Nancy Carpenter. My grandmother lives on the other side of the earth. When I have daylight, she has night. When our sky grows dark, the sun is peeking through her window and brushing the bright lemons on her lemon tree. I think about this when I am going to sleep. Your turn, I say. Between us are many miles of land and water. Between us are fish and cities and buses and fields and presidents and clotheslines and trucks and stop signs and signs that say do not enter and grocery stores and benches and families and deserts and a million trees. Once I went to visit my grandmother. My grandmother and I do not speak the same language. We talked through my father as if he were a telephone, because he spoke both our languages and could translate what we said. I called her Siti, which means grandma in Arabic. She called me Habibi, which means darling. Her voice danced as high as the whistles of birds. Her voice giggled and whooshed like wind going around corners. She had a thousand rivers in her voice. A few curls of dark hair peeked out of her scarf on one side, and a white curl peeked out on the other side. I wanted her to take off the scarf so I could see if her hair was striped. Soon we had invented our own language together. Siti pointed at my stomach to ask if I was hungry. I pointed to the door to ask if she wanted to go outside. We walked to the fields to watch men picking lentils. We admired the sky with hums and claps. We crossed the road to buy milk from a family that kept one spotted cow. I called the cow Habibi, and it winked at me. We thanked the cow with whistles and clicks for the fresh milk that we carried home in Siti's little teapot. Every day I played with my cousins, Fauzi, Sammy, Hanny, and Hendia from next door. We played marbles together in their courtyard. Their marbles were blue and green and spun through the dust like planets. We didn't need words to play marbles. My grandmother lives on the other side of the earth. She eats cucumbers for breakfast with yogurt and bread. She bakes the big flat bread in a round old oven next to her home. A fire burns in the middle. She pats the dough between her hands and presses it out to bake on a flat black rock in the center of the oven. My father says she has been baking that bread for 100 years. My grandmother and I sat under her lemon tree in the afternoons, drinking lemonade with mint in it. She liked me to pick bunches of mint for her. She liked to press her nose into the mint and sniff. Some days, we stuffed little zucchini squash with rice for dinner. We sang, Habibi, Habibi, as we stacked them in a pan. We cracked almonds and ate apricots, called mishmish, while we worked. One day, Siti took off her scarf and shook out her hair. She washed her hair in a tub right there under the sun. Her hair surprised me by being very long. And it was striped. She said it got that way all by itself. I helped her brush it out while it dried. She braided it and pinned the braid up before putting on the scarf again. I felt as if I knew a secret. In the evenings, we climbed the stairs to the roof of Siti's house to look at the sky, smell the air, and take down the laundry. My grandmother likes to unpin the laundry in the evening so she can watch the women of the village walking back from the spring with jugs of water on their heads. She used to do that too. My father says the women don't really need to get water from the spring anymore, but they like to. It is something from the old days they don't want to forget. On the day my father and I had to leave, everyone cried and cried. Even my father kept blowing his nose and walking outside. I cried hard when Siti held my head against her shoulder. My cousins gave me a sack of almonds to eat on the plane. Siti gave me a small purse she had made. She had stitched a picture of her lemon tree onto the purse with shiny thread. She popped the almonds into my purse and pulled the drawstrings tight. Our plane flew to the other side of the world. I remember the tattoos on my grandmother's hands. They look like birds flying away. My father says she has had those tattoos for 100 years. I think about Siti's old green trunk in the corner of her room. It has a padlock on it. She wears the key on a green ribbon around her neck. She keeps my grandfather's rings in there, and her gold thread, and needles, and pieces of folded up blue velvet from old dresses, and 2 small leather books, and a picture of my father before he came to the United States, and a picture of my parents on their wedding day, and a picture of me when I was a baby, smiling and very bald. Did I really look like that? When I got home, I wrote a letter to the President of the United States. Dear Mr. President, my grandmother on the other side of the world has a lemon tree that whispers secrets. She talks to it and gives it water from her own drinking glass. She guesses the branch where lemons will grow next. All the old men and women of her village take good care of their trees. Some have fig trees with shiny leaves. Some have almond trees covered with white blossoms that fall down on the road like snow. Last night, when I watched the news on TV, I felt worried. If the people of the United States could meet Siti, they'd like her for sure. You'd like her too. My grandmother can read the stars and the moons and the clouds. She can read dreams and tea leaves in the bottom of a cup. She even said she could read good luck on my forehead. Mr. President, I wish you my good luck in your very hard job. I vote for peace. My grandmother votes with me. Sincerely, Mona. Does my grandmother know what will happen in the world? Does the world have a forehead? Sometimes I think the world is a huge body tumbling in space, all curled up like a child sleeping. People are far apart, but connected. My grandmother lives on the other side of the earth. While I am dreaming, she rises from her fluffy bed and steps out her door to check the lemons growing on her tree. The first thing she does every day is say good morning to her lemons. All day, the leafy shadow of her tree will grow and change on her courtyard wall. She will move with its shade. When she sleeps, she will dream of me.
As we've heard stories, as we've sung songs, as we've thought about God's heart song for this world, we hear now this story, a story that crosses time and distance. I invite you now to hear these words, which may be familiar to you, but perhaps with fresh ears. The Christmas story, a song that stretches and crosses time. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. But the story doesn't end there, because in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." Then Herod secretly called for the wise magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I too may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them was the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May this story and the message of God's incredible and unending love for the whole world stay with us throughout the year. May the songs of the angels that echoed from that first Christmas Eve night continue to stretch into our own time, becoming the songs on our lips, the song of our hearts that inspires us to greater love and abundant hope this day and each day of our journey. May the song in the air be ours as together we sing Carol 159.
The stories that we have read this morning and the songs that we have sung this morning may fuel our hope that a world can be changed, that God's love, God's peace, God's light can come down and spread, that it can spread across traditions, across space, across time. In stories inspired by their childhood experiences in their own families, Patricia Polacco's Jewish grandpa and babushka on one side of the family and Christian grandparents on the other side, and Naomi Shihab Nye's own city living in Palestine, we see glimpses of the world that can be. We also hear in them that deeper longing that such worlds would not be torn apart by fear, enmity, and violence. Sadly, we know all too well how quickly fear, enmity, and violence can lay waste to a community, to destroy not just buildings and people, but also the goodwill that might lead to a peaceful shared future. We have seen it for years in Babushka's Ukraine and Grandpa's Georgia, and we have seen it again and again in cities Palestine and in especially gruesome ways over the last few months. With our offerings this morning, we choose to weigh in on the side of hope for a better future in such war-torn places. Specifically, we have chosen to follow the lead of our missions committee in delivering much-needed funding to UNICEF's efforts to assist children whose lives have been torn apart by the ongoing conflict in Gaza. And our offering this morning will be directed to that work. If you wish to direct your gifts elsewhere, such as toward our special Christmas offering or toward your regular pledged giving, please either use the envelopes that are provided for those purposes or note your preference on the memo lines of your check. Otherwise, any gifts that we receive this morning that are not designated for something else will be directed to this critical work of UNICEF. But whatever we give, and however we direct it, let us do so with great joy in our hearts, knowing, praying, hoping that it can be used to bring about God's peace and love that transforms the world.
As we prepare to sing our closing carol and to go out into the world, I share with you these words of poetry from Palestinian poet Maya Abu al-Hayat, translated by Fadi Judah. Daydream. I'll write about a joy that invades Jenin from six directions, about children running while holding balloons in Amari camp, about a fullness that quiets breastfeeding babies all night in Askar, about a little sea we can stroll up and down in Tulkarm, about eyes that stare in people's faces and see them in Balata, about a woman dancing for people in line in the checkpoint, about stitches in the sides of laughing men in Azun, about you and me, stuffing our pockets with seashells and laughter and building a city. May we join together now in singing our closing carol, 167, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Let us go in peace, and let us go to make peace. That dance that crosses traditions, that the dream that crosses the world, that the song that crosses time may be realized in our world today. Peace on earth to all. Amen.